Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
That it is National Cheeseburger Day today. Otherwise, we'd call this the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Dick. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 406-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? I don't know. Yeah, wait. Anything else you need? Where am I going? I'm lost. See, I tried to do two things at once, and I screwed it up again. Oh, anyways, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. It is Wednesday. The new blog popped up over there this morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link itself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate it. We also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Sports Time. Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with Freedom.
So, there you go. Now, Dan, I definitely know something about the burgers. You know, I'm okay there. We can talk about that all you want.
I missed Antonio Brown.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did he do?
Oh, you didn't hear about it? You didn't read that one from the doctor?
No, I'm having a tough time hearing you. You're starting to break up. Oh, it's just going to be one of those days. Yeah, all I heard was you started to talk about Antonio Brown, and that was kind of it. I don't know what he did. All I know, the only thing I saw was Pennsylvania decided not to charge him. So, you know, they were looking into the claim made by the girl. For whatever reason, I can't remember her name, but, you know, they just kind of decided they were going to, you know, investigate to see if it was worth pressing criminal charges. They decided against it. So, you know, now it's definitely just a civil lawsuit, and, you know, as odd as it is, I'm not sure if, well, you know, according to the police, he didn't commit a crime, right, if they're not going to charge him?
No.
So. So, you know, that's just kind of goes. So, yeah, I guess, does the NFL really have grounds to suspend them now?
I don't know. It's like such a gray area with them.
Yeah, it's just very, you know, very, I mean, all you can call it at this point is confusing. I mean, I'll be interested to see if he ends up paying her any money. You know, what he ends up doing now, because I don't know what other way to kind of look at it. I mean, it's not criminal, it's civil, and it's really just kind of he said, she said now, right?
Pretty much, but you know, you've got to wonder how they account for civil court cases if it's not criminals. And I mean, they're huge on domestic violence, but I don't know what you classify this.
Yeah, that's odd. So just another one of those. I don't know what kind of picture you describe it as. I don't know if odd is the way to kind of go with it, but you know, that's kind of about the only way to figure it out, right? Odd is the best word.
Pretty much.
So.
Anyways, you got anything more great? I'm sick of talking about him.
So, for a change, there wasn't a ton of, you know, NFL news, which is, you know, different for today. I did see the big thing I was really kind of surprised with was the fact that the Saints don't appear to be as committed to Teddy Bridgewater as, you know, as it seemed they were going to be with this, with this quarterback situation. And I know for whatever reason, everybody is, you know, extremely excited to see this Taysom Hill play. You know, he's another one of these run pass option guys, and I don't know if this is in the best interest of the team. I mean, did they forget that, you know, until he got injured, I mean, Bridgewater was an up and coming quarterback that, you know, looked to have a really bright future. So I don't know if this is, you know, let's say the smartest move for a team that, you know, wants to try to stay in playoff contention while their guy is hurt. And I know you've always kind of been a Teddy guy. Are you, where are you here? You think this is the right way for them to go?
No, but I mean, they just obviously they don't want to go with him, right? Or have the faith.
So, going back to, you know, when he made his first full season of starts in Minnesota, you know, he went 11-5. I get it. He only completed about 65% of his passes, but he was young and learning, of course. 14 TDs to just 9 interceptions. So, he had a really good rate there. And, if he's healthy, you know, he's still got that escapability. You know, he can get out of being sacked. I know Breeze does it kind of his own way, but, you know, Bridgewater can run out of it. And if you don't remember, he made the Pro Bowl that year as, you know, the Vikings starting quarterback. And I just don't know. Again, I know this is the new wave. You know, they want to see these guys, you know, Taysom Hill, who I don't even know, you know, where he played college ball at. But looks like he went to BYU. But, yeah, he's been limited to – has he even thrown a pass? They don't even have him listed as throwing a pass here. I mean, he's appeared in 23 games over three seasons with the Saints. But, the first year he played in five games and didn't touch the ball. Last year he did appear in all 16 games. Ended up carrying it 37 times and catching three passes. But, yeah, I kind of start to look at it, and I'm like, really, is this the route to go? I mean, we're talking about a team that, legitimately appears to be a playoff contender, even with Drew Brees in here. They appear to be a playoff contender, but yet you're going to go to the guy that hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL game over a guy who has taken a team to the playoffs. That seems off to me, or, maybe I'm the crazy one. What the hell do I know?
Well, I mean, so basically you're saying what they're saying behind it is that they'd rather go with an unproven guy that hasn't accomplished anything in the NFL compared to a guy who has accomplishments. And not only that, have the experience.
Well, do you think maybe, I guess this is another angle to look at it, Bridgewater is only signed with them for this year. You know, if he goes out and, say he goes out and plays six or eight really good games for them, obviously they're not going to be able to re-sign him because there's going to be a team out there that go, hey, look, Teddy looks like he's back in form. We can bring him in as our starter. Where Hill is under contract to them, younger, inexperienced, looks like he could be their heir apparent to Drew Brees, depending on how much longer Brees wants to play. Do you think maybe that's going to factor in and they're going to try to develop the guy for their future rather than the guy to win with?
I guess I didn't look at it that way. That's probably exactly where they're going with it. But, is it the best option?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously they're 1-1, so they're mixed in with the Falcons and the Buccaneers and, in that division. But, even without Drew Brees, I understand he's a gigantic loss, but they've got a bunch of quality skill position guys, and you can't tell me that Taysom Hill gives you a better chance to win going into Seattle than Teddy Bridgewater does. And then they follow that up by hosting the Cowboys. So they're going to end up going against back-to-back teams with really good defenses. The Cowboys probably are going to end up with one of the top defenses in the league, even though they did just cut Taco Charlton, who's a big-time quality pass rusher. So, I it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. But, maybe that's their thinking. So, if it is just 6 weeks for Brees, he'll come back in week 10 because they have the bye in week 9. If it's 8 weeks, obviously that brings him back in, week 11 or 12. And oddly, when he comes back, they'll have a bunch of winnable games on their schedule. All their tough games will be out of their way. He's going to miss the Seahawks this week. Obviously on the road in Seattle, that's a tougher game. Dallas, of course, it's going to be a tough game. Then they got Tampa Bay. They go on the road to Jacksonville and on the road to Chicago before playing Arizona. Then they hit the bye week. If Brees comes back, they've got Atlanta. Then they go to Tampa. They host Carolina. They go to Atlanta. They host San Francisco and Indianapolis. And then they close out at Tennessee at Carolina. If Brees comes back and he's healthy, they could legitimately win out once he gets back in. So I think these games, while he's gone, are hugely important. And I would think you would want blue water for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So. You know what I mean? I get it. It's going to be tough for anybody going to Seattle and win just because that's how the place is built. But, you know, I mean, you know, I get it. Teddy wasn't great. I mean, he was 17 for 30 for 105 yards. But he didn't turn the ball over. So, you know, and I mean, you just got to wonder, that's really the first meaningful game he's played in plus years, so you got to think he was a little rusty, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. You got beaten Seattle this week on the road, regardless of who the quarterback is, because I don't know if I could go that route. To be fair, Seattle hasn't been great. You know, they won week one by 1 point over Cincinnati. They only beat Pittsburgh without Ben Roethlisberger by 2 points. So who knows what the hell we're going to get this week. Maybe they'll win by 3 points against the Saints.
Just
one of those. I don't know. I just found it kind of weird that's the vibe you get. And then you got to wonder, I mean, if you're Teddy Bridgewater and say they do start you, are you looking over your shoulder anytime you make a mistake or throw an incompletion, wondering if this guy's coming in to take your spot?
Oh, yeah.
So, that just, again, you know, that didn't make a lot of, I mean, I think you'd want your guy to go out there with confidence, you know, be like, yeah, hey, you know, this is our guy, and, you know, rah, rah, go get him. I mean, it's football. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. You know, and then obviously we add gold more interesting news. Luckily, we no longer have a two tight end league because I was the only one who liked it. But it's being reported now that David Njoku, the Browns tight end, broke his wrist. And humorously here, not that he got hurt that was humorous, but they don't put a timetable for his return, Dan. They just say that he may face the prospect of a lengthy absence. So now, did you look to see, do you have him in any of your leagues?
No, I don't. I don't think.
Okay. Yeah. You know, well, now that we don't have two tight ends, you know, now that you don't play two tight ends, unless you want to, because we do have the, the utility spot. You know, so that's always a positive. You don't have to worry too much now if a tight end goes down or gets hurt or anything like that happens, right?
No, I still have to worry because the market's so thin with tight ends who actually just fall. So it's
only in our
position.
Only in our league is it thin. In all the other leagues, you can go out and get monster guys who put up huge numbers. So, right?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm beginning to think that a tight end is worthless in our league and is only beneficial in 12-team leagues and under. If you're over 12, next year, I don't even think I'm going to draft tight end. Because even when I draft them, they play like crap anyway, so.
Yeah, it seems to be one of those things where you either have to, go out and actually, like in the auction league, you have to spend money to get a top guy, you know, or you just got to kind of hope you get lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I have Nick Fant from Denver. And so whenever they have the bye week, I'm screwed. Unless there's someone I can pick up that's in the one league. Yeah. I have Fant in the other league, too, but I have Kyle Rudolph, who did nothing week one. He got me 3 points week two. Or Fant, you know, doubled it to 6.5 points. So, I mean... It's basically
Rudolph
in the position.
You know, Rudolph is a quality name, though, at tight end. You just got to figure he's off to a, you know, a slow start. I mean, Kirk Cousins hasn't played that well for a couple of weeks, so, you know, you got to kind of wonder if, you know, that picks up as he gets, as hopefully he gets going. So.
Yeah, but I mean, if we have a flex, maybe if we did two flex instead of a tight end in a 20-team league. I'm going to say that to you for the next, well, basically until the changes. So it'll be a couple of years, right? 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. It always takes a little while for me to get with it. Well, like I said, you know, I was the only one who actually liked the two tight end thing. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, let's make the change, make everybody happy here, so I don't have to listen to it anymore.
Hey, I mean, at least I'm not complaining about our outfield not being position specific.
Yeah, well, you know, that may happen soon anyways, so, you know, we'll have to see how that goes.
No, don't change it. It's my fault that
I would
nothing but right fielders.
I would never change our outfield. I actually like it position specific. You know, it still drives me nuts that in our money league they won't, you know, they won't step up and make it position specific. So. You know, I prefer it so much like that, it's, you know, it's not even funny.
Well, I'm thinking about fantasy baseball, just so you know. The consolation round.
You're in the consolation round?
And I'm in the channel and the auction league for semifinal. And right now I'm losing. Which this is a semifinal only because my opponent last week missed his inning.
Oh. So.
Otherwise, he literally beat me in every better fielding position last week. It was horrible. Or no, I'm sorry. My batting average was better than his by 2 points.
Yeah, that's part of the reason, you know, we have the innings limit.
Yeah.
So here I did get a quick one here, Dan. I had a guy who wanted to give me Frank Gore for Darren Waller, the Oakland tight end, even though I don't need a running back, but I don't know how that would benefit me. And he actually, the same guy sent me a trade. I guess maybe he thought this was better. He wanted to give me Rashid Mosberg and DeMarcus Robinson for Mark Andrews. So obviously he needs a tight end because his tight end is injured, but he hasn't sent me anything worthwhile that I'm even remotely interested in talking to him about. So,
that's all right. I had woke up to a trade after the draft, and then they canceled it before I even woke up.
Oh, so. Yeah, well, you know, and then oddly, the weird part is, like, he keeps wanting to take my tight end, but he doesn't give me anything to kind of cover up for the hole he would leave me with, because then I would have just one tight end. So on my week, I would beat the zero. And it would be like, well, wait, why would I make this trade, you know, and just kind of open myself up like that? It doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, I guess he's just kind of only looking for his needs and not mine.
So. Is that like an Antonio Brown relationship?
Oh.
Yeah, did you make an offer or anything to that guy? I saw the guy posted in our league that he wants to get rid of him.
No, I didn't bother. I didn't really, you know, I was kind of under the assumption that the NFL, you know, and I'm still under that assumption that we really don't know. We don't know if we're going to wake up Saturday morning or even Sunday morning and all of a sudden the NFL drops the hammer and he's, you know, suspended for six games or something.
Yeah, you know, and oddly I would, you know, I would probably be a little interested in dealing for him depending on what he wanted. You know, because obviously, you know, if you could get him for a steal, he could be something that, you know, you might go, oh, yeah, hey, okay, let me take a look at that. You know, I mean, I think if he's expecting perceived Antonio Brown value that he used to have, then I think it wouldn't be anything I would be interested in. So, you know, and then I did see somebody else posted. Did you see the other trade that they were interested in moving? I don't remember who the players were that was involved. So,
oh, no, I did not see it.
You know, because I know you normally, you know, you're normally the message board guy, so I always kind of rely on you to, you know, to find that stuff and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wish guys would just put it on the trading block and be like, check the trading block.
Yeah, so. So, and then, you know, I thought this was an interesting one. You know, it seems to be the new wave in the NFL for everybody to want to be traded. And Jalen Ramsey is the next guy in line there. You know, he's the Jaguars that he wants out. And they said they're willing to trade him. They're looking to get a first-round pick back for him. Now, Deion Sanders came out with a quote today. You know, the Jaguars have the game tomorrow night. He actually said that Jacksonville should sit him so to not screw things up, you know, like have him get hurt is what he was implying. Do you buy that they should sit him until they find a team to make a deal with, or are you playing?
No, I'm sitting him.
Oh, really? For some reason, I thought you'd take the opposite. So what you just are, is it risk of injury or what's your theory?
Yeah, it's risk of injury. I mean, if I were any team going forward, I would try to work in their contract that if they throw those words out to the media and put it out there like that, that it's an immediate suspension, team suspension, and they lose their pay until they get the trade. Oh, I'm not getting off here.
And dang, see, what we get is Dan gets lost someplace. And that's the other excitement we get here. So, but yeah, because I saw that. I thought that was kind of interesting with, you know, Dion coming out. I think I was the opposite. I think I was just kind of like, ah, help. You know, if he's going to get hurt, he's going to get hurt. So.
No, I mean, I think you want to protect that money and not get stuck with it.
Oh, you know, and then of course, since it's Thursday, we get some early baseball games because, of course, like I said, it is Thursday. That's what they do. Two finals already. The Cardinals got a win over the Nationals 5-1, so that puts a little more pressure on the Cubs and the Brewers tonight. Adam Wainwright pitched a fantastic game for the Cardinals, and Max Scherzer kept the Nationals in it, and then he kind of ran out of gas, and the Cardinals got to him. Carlos Martinez ended up coming in and getting a save. And then the other final right now, we have the Diamondback hanging on to what has to be just slim hopes of a wild card right now. They got a 5-4 win over the Marlins. Mike Leake picked up the win there. Sandy Alcantara took the loss, and Archie Bradley picked up another save. It looks like we do have three games that are live right now, and the what you'd have to say is the most exciting one, depending on how you look at this one, Dan. It's the top of the 11th in Oakland, and the Royals and the A's are tied. Dan, tell me what the score is without cheating.
Ah, too late.
Oh, you looked? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually 0-0 in the top of the 11th inning. So, you know, I know Danny Duffy and Homer Bailey started. I'm going to have to look at the box score there because we must have gotten some really quality pitching. Actually, we did have the other game go final. The Mets did beat the Rockies 7-4. I don't have the pitching winners there. And then the other games that's live has the Angels and the Yankees tied at 0-0, but that's just in the second inning. So I want to pull the Royal A's box score here and see how this is going. Well, both teams have four hits through 11 innings, and the Royals have committed an error. For the Royals, it was Duffy for 7. Barlow went an inning and 2/3. Hill pitched a third of an inning. McCarthy went 2/3, and Rosario went 1/3. I guess you can really tell it's September, Dan. They're just kind of piecemealing it together there. I guess if you have enough pitchers, you can do that. Homer Bailey went 7 for the A's and actually struck out 11. Petit went 2. Diekman went 2 2/3. Went 2/3 of an inning, not 2 2/3. And then Wendelkin went 1 1/3. So that's where we are right now. It looks like the A's are coming to bat in the bottom of the 11th, and they're at the top of the order. They got Simeon Gatman and Matt Olson coming up. So maybe they'll.
You know, right now it's pretty interesting to me because, well, maybe it's just one day, but, you know, if Cleveland can really knock out, you know, just take over Detroit tonight and tomorrow, and the Dodgers beat Tampa Bay, they can take that that wild card spot for them for at least a couple days. You know, one of the things we had talked about, and it threw me off because I actually put Brandon McKay in my hitter's lineup tonight. He's actually pitching against the Dodgers in L.A. So,
well, you know, does his bat count when he pitched for you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to put him in the batting lineup rotation, you know, hitting tonight. So at least I got that going, but I don't know how great it's going to be. It is pretty interesting getting down to the wire here. You know, the Cubs have the Reds, which I I don't know if you agree with me, but do you think they need to sweep them, to completely dominate them, to try to stay in the pace of the Cubs? Yeah, they're playing the Reds tonight and tomorrow and Friday.
Yeah, sadly, with the loss last night, they can no longer sweep. That was they really wasted a good Yu Darvish effort. But, yeah, you need to beat these teams that you're supposed to beat. You know, so that's like if the A's, you know, if the A's do drop this game, and like you said, it, you know, Cleveland wins. You know, if Cleveland wins and Tampa Bay loses, Cleveland actually moves into that second wild card spot. You know, and then they'll only be, I believe, a game behind Oakland. You know, that's if Oakland loses. If Oakland wins, it's two games. So, yeah, it's big to, you know, like I said, you've got to beat these teams that you're supposed to beat. You know, you can't have, you know, like Cleveland can't go out and choke against Detroit. And, you know, the Cubs can't go out and have another choke job against the Reds like last night. You know, I mean, I know the Reds have a decent offense and Sonny Gray has been hot, but, you know, come on. The Cubs are still the better team. And, you know, Yu Darvish kept them in that game last night. You've got to win those games for him. Milwaukee has San Diego, and Milwaukee has been doing a really good job of beating the teams they're supposed to. You know, with Washington's loss, if the Cubs win and the Brewers win, they're each a half game behind for the number one wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, you know, you kind of look at it, and it's odd because I honestly thought when Christian Yelich got hurt, the Brewers would go away. But now all of a sudden, I guess Mike Moustakas decided to keep the MVP. They've won four in a row, and they're 9-1 in their last 10. So they're really taking advantage of the schedule, you know, because they played the Marlins. Now they're playing the Padres. They're taking advantage of their schedule, where it looked like the Cubs were doing that against the Pirates, and it started off like that against the Reds. But, of course, you know, the Cubs get whatever happens to the Cubs, and, you know, they give the game away. Now John Lester has to make this stop, and we'll see if he can do it. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of to the point where it might boil down to the team with the easiest schedule ends up either getting the wild card spots or in the National League, you could win the Central, you know, if things work out for you.
Well, let me ask you, Big Jack. I mean, this is a crazy, like, I don't even know what the odds would be, how many millions to one or billions, but what would happen if the Cubs, Cardinals, and Milwaukee somehow tied?
That would be my favorite thing. That's my favorite thing in the most entire world. Yeah. if we had a four-way tie, just imagine how fantastic that would be for, you know, because obviously the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Cardinals would have to have some kind of round robin to decide who wins the Central. You know, and then once that was decided, you'd have to add the Nationals in to decide who gets what in the wild card, you know, or who the two wild card teams are. So I don't think it could get any better. I really don't.
I mean, like I said, there's probably billions and trillions to one that could happen, but with the limited amount of games going forward and how close they are, I didn't realize that. I thought the Cardinals were a little farther ahead.
No, I think they remember Milwaukee took 3 or 4 from them over the weekend, so kind of brought them back to the pack because the Cubs were actually hitting and beating the Pirates. So, but yeah, you know, looking here, you know, Dan, I'm really starting to wonder if this all favors the Brewers. You know, they've got tonight and tomorrow against San Diego. Then Pittsburgh comes to town. They've got 3 against the Pirates. And then to wrap up the season, they do go on the road, but they're going on the road against Cincinnati and Colorado. So they don't have a game against an over 500 team the rest of the year. So, you know, this may drop right in their lap if, again, if they just win the games they're supposed to win, because I don't know. You know, I know the Cubs have two series against the Cardinals, and I don't see either team sweeping, you know, either team in that situation. So there's going to be ground for Milwaukee to pick up.
Yeah, you're right. And I was so off with the Reds. I was just looking at the color. Red, I wasn't even looking at what team it was the Cubs are playing.
So, yeah, because, you know, looking at the Cubs here, you know, they finish up with the Reds tonight. Then St. Louis comes to town for four games. Then the Cubs finish on the road as well. They have three at Pittsburgh and three at St. Louis. So the schedule makers didn't do the Cubs and the Cardinals any favors. You damn well know the networks are excited, because not only are they going to get a rivalry game, they're going to get a rivalry game that means something. So, you know, that could be really, you know, really huge here for both these teams. I mean, if somebody can sweep that four-game series, you would probably knock the other team out of it. But I just don't see a split there. I would kind of lean more to a split, even though the Cubs have been really good at home. So, and then what did they do to the Cardinals between here? Yeah, you know, the Cardinals picked up the win today. Obviously, they had four with Chicago, but they didn't get any favors either, because after they play the Cubs, they don't get a day off, and they have to go to Arizona for 3 days. Now, my guess is Arizona will be out of the wild card race by then, but they've still been a good team and may play some tough baseball before St. Louis has to come home and you know, wrap up the season against the Cubs. So, yeah, there's no you know, no help there for either the Cubs or the Cardinals. And, you know, like I said, you got to start wondering if even without Christian Yelich, the Brewers are going to walk into some kind of playoff spot here and just be like, oh, hey, thank you, the schedule worked out in our favor. You know, let me see figure out what Washington's here. They're the other team kind of this. My internet catches up with me. Come on, Mr. Anderson. There we go. All right, the Nationals have. Well, obviously they suffered the loss against the Cardinals today. They stay on the road, but they have three against Miami. So they have three really winnable games there before they close out the season at home. And, you know, this could be interesting. They've got four against Philadelphia. Excuse me. They have five against Philadelphia, which is really weird there. I'm guessing one is a rainout. And then they close out the season at home against Cleveland. So that could be two teams fighting to hang on to a wild card spot. So, yeah, you know, again, Dan, we don't bet money on this show, but I think if I had money to lay, sadly, I would have to take the Brewers in all this just by looking at the schedule. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the Brewers end up winning the NL Central and it's the Nationals, the Cubs, and the Cardinals fighting over a wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way I was looking at it, too.
You know, the A's won at the bottom of the 11th on a walk-off by Mark Cahana, a single. So, there you go. 1-0 in 11 innings. I guess, is that Major League Baseball's argument for the ball not being juiced in?
Yep.
you know, that's their the only answer they could have there was to have a 1-0 game. Maybe they sent different baseballs there to have that happen. So, but yeah, just, I mean, you know, looking at the schedule, and I mean, if it just plays out, you know, anywhere close to how it goes, you know, hell, Milwaukee may win every game going down the stretch. You know, they may not lose again.
You know, and I think when you asked me, I was like, no, they're gone. No Yelich, no playoffs.
Yeah. If they're in, I wouldn't expect them to do much because obviously the competition level is going to be huge. If they win the division, what, they draw Atlanta. You know, and if they did manage to win the wild card, they'd get the Dodgers. So I don't think I would see them doing very much in the playoffs, but, you know, again, they would be in. So.
There's the one thing, though. Would you like to see them play the Dodgers again just to see what Council's approach or Council and the front office's approach would be to going up against the Dodgers this time around?
Yeah, I would be really interested to see, you know, because one of the things when they re-signed Dave Roberts was they mentioned that he was actually going to have more control of the roster. Because, like, if you remember, you know, one of the weird things in that series is I don't think Cody Bellinger played a lot. You know, now obviously I know he's been slumping a little bit here in the second half, but no matter what the Sabermetric would say, you would have to play Bellinger in every game, I would think. But, you know, that may be a little tip of who's running the team. You know, because clearly last year they didn't run it by name value, they ran it exactly by what the numbers said to do. You know, and that was part of the reason the Brewers beat the Wade Miley thing where he pitched a one batter and then came out because that actually made the Dodgers redo their entire lineup.
Well, analytically, Kiki Rodriguez was the only guy that was starting most of the games. What do you go,
yeah,
like 10 for 10?
Yeah, and he was the cleanup hitter. So, you know, just kind of weird how, you know, that's how things played out. So, you know, but yeah, I think that would be a really interesting matchup to see again. You know, plus you wonder, you know, did either team learn anything from last year?
Yeah.
Or will the Brewers maybe change their approach a little bit? You know, I mean, you know, God, maybe they'll try to get 6 games out of a starting pitcher instead of 3, and you know, save that bullpen a little bit, and maybe have a shot to win some games. Because again, even if they get in, I mean, you're looking at a team that, you know, it was nice that they got Brandon Woodruff back, but you know, that staff is still gas. So, you know, that would be a very interesting kind of setup there. So, but yeah, you know, and then you wonder, you know, it would be interesting to see how they. You know, if they do the Braves in a series, how they matched up, and if, you know, if they could kind of stay. So, you know, because I don't know. I mean, do you have what's your confidence level in the Braves going into the playoffs? Are you a believer? Because you know, I really wasn't all year, and they've kind of proved me wrong. So are you in, or where are you?
I wouldn't say I wasn't a believer. I just still don't think they have what it takes to, regardless of who they play, I don't think they're going to go to the second round.
Yeah, because I didn't, you know, I don't think I had them winning the division this year. I just wasn't really playing it, but, you know, they've done much better than I thought.
Yeah, they've definitely played much better than we both thought, I think. But at the same token, is it, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from them, but how much, again, plays into account that the Phillies and the Nats didn't live up to where they should be? I mean, I guess we'd have to really. Yeah, but you know what I mean? They kind of picked it up after the second half, but I guess that's something maybe we should email each other and kind of talk about on Monday and, you know, really kind of break down matchups or the matchups for, you know, the divisions, you know, because I know they play 18 games and, you know, there's some, you know, that's something I wanted to ask you about since we do have the time and, you know, we still got a couple weeks before the playoffs really kick off. But I mean, you know, I've heard some broadcasters, journalists out there complain about the fact that the Central or, you know, your leagues play 18 games against each other and it's just too much. But I don't know. I feel like if you played only 10 games and you spread it out and more evenly throughout the entire league, you know, obviously that would give you the opportunity to play interleague ball a lot more. But wouldn't that take away the value of having a Central, East, and West? Wouldn't it just be absolutely pointless if you're just going to spread the games out evenly?
Yeah, I mean, what's weird is I would be interested to know how many of those people who are against it now loved it when it first came out, because it was very popular when they first made this move. Because, I mean, this is the way you win a division. You beat the other guys in the division. You know, you don't go out and beat the, you know, whatever they are or whoever they are in, you know, the other league. You know, I mean, you don't want to win your division by beating the Orioles or the Tigers or, you know, teams like that. You want to go out and beat the team that is in your league.
Well, and I mean, if they kind of eliminated that, like I said, it would, the divisions would be absolutely pointless, but wouldn't that be more or less the NBA? I mean, because every once in a while, someone will be like, oh, they're in the blah, blah, blah conference, or not conference, but division. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they have divisions. Because when I look at the standings for the NBA, I do not look at division breakdowns or matchups.
No.
I strictly look at conference.
I've never looked for, you know, who or what it is on the NBA thing. I strictly look for, you know, East and West, because I want to know who the top eight are. So.
Yeah. No, I heard that being brought up, and I'm like, you know, and here's me, I'm the opposite. Well, maybe not total opposite. You know, I'm totally foregoing getting rid of interleague play. I think the trouble with getting rid of it, though, is I think there's a small value in it, in that, you know, there's only three series. But I still think that Major League Baseball could get away from strictly creating these schedules from the computer. And I know, God forbid, Big Jack, I know this would be some work, but what if they let the computer spit it out and they had a team of guys who actually looked at all the schedules and said, no, you know, it's really stupid that the Angels in April are flying to Chicago for two games after they went, after they played, the Seattle Mariners, and then are headed back home for three games only to go to Texas for, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think that's really progressive and out there, but I don't know. What do you think, Jack? Is that too much to ask to actually have guys look at the schedule and maybe adjust it that way? So you get I liked back in the day when they first started interleague play, when it was like a big deal and they only happened at certain times of the year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I hate what they've basically bastardized interleague play to. You know, I mean, I honestly could just care less about it right now. I have zero interest in it. And then, I mean, you know, you look at some of the way it works out. I mean, we're in late September here, and the interleague matchup is Seattle at Pittsburgh. Dan, who cares?
Well, even today, it's the Dodgers and the Rays.
Right. But at least those are two good teams.
Yeah, but in the same token, though, I don't know. You're the Rays, and if you get kind of beat up by the Dodgers, maybe it doesn't mean as much when this happens in July, you know, beginning of August. But when you're really fighting to hold on to that last wild card spot and you're going up against the best National League team as opposed to maybe the Orioles, but even having a chance to battle it out against your Yankees, your rival in your division, I don't know. I think it kind of takes away from that.
Yeah, I do think, you know, if you're the Rays, you've got to look at it like you're almost jinxed here. So, you know, I just don't know, you know, how else to kind of describe it. It's like, hey, great, you know, you guys played so well, and here's your reward at the end of the season. You get to play the best team in the National League while you're fighting for a wild card berth. So, you know, just one of those odd things. While, you know, who were the Indians playing? I forgot. We talked about it, and I don't remember who they were scheduled against. But,
the Tigers.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned it. That's right. So, yeah, you got the Indians chasing you. You know, you're playing – I think the Tigers have the worst record in baseball while you're playing the team with the best. You know, but at least the Tigers are an American League team. Like you said, I mean – it wouldn't be such a big deal if Tampa Bay was playing, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox or, you know, something like that. Oh, well, look at that. It's that top of the world. All right. The team is going to be able to take off. So we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30. For the week today. Then we're going to be over to the 14-year-old app. Get over to the new blog that went up this morning. But while you're there, hit the link and follow it over to your Facebook page. And if you want to have a little over there, go ahead and give it a like. But don't forget to subscribe to the and post on radio. Now, folks, feel free to look at any night. I'm sure we're going to have a problem with that. As always, well, if you stop by to listen to this live, thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate that. But remember, the podcast is available to you to listen to anytime you want over at
sportsonradio.com.